Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Chat. You're here with Lauren Adelson and Christy Snyder. We hope that you are having an awesome day, and we are excited to bring you this topic tonight at this specific time of year when the holidays are approaching. We're nearing Christmas and Hanukkah and coming into New Year's. And we just got a request actually from one of our listeners about being kind to yourself around your insecurities and failures. And we just resonated so much with this topic ourselves in our personal lives. And we know that coming into the holiday season, our insecurities tend to be a little bit louder, more pronounced, a little more highlighted when we're around family and expectations. So we wanted to discuss it tonight with you. Yeah, so we love this topic, and it's such an important and relevant topic right as we are heading into the holiday season. One thing Lauren and I were talking about is the idea that during the holidays, we come together with friends and family who, you know, some family maybe we see all the time, some family we haven't seen in a year or so or since the last holiday. And it's really just a time when we start to evaluate ourselves and we look at what has happened for ourselves over the past year, things we've accomplished, things we've gone through, maybe things that we've wanted to do but we didn't quite make happen. And it's just a time of self-reflection and really self-evaluation. We're also being put into situations where we're coming together with family, and sometimes there are certain expectations that we have with family to fill certain roles and just to be a certain person really among that group. And so it's a time that we feel that we're not only evaluating ourselves, but we're kind of coming into these groups of people, our family, yes, who love us, but who are also kind of, we feel, evaluating us, and we feel, you know, whether it's right and true or not, who we feel are maybe judging us. And, you know, in the reality, we know in this conversation that a lot of times when we feel that judgment, we're really more so judging ourselves and projecting that onto other people, but still that's what we tend to feel. So Lauren and I really liked this topic for this time of year. We want to arm you guys with some really, a really good understanding of how to recognize our insecurities and how to be more compassionate toward ourselves for our insecurities and our perceived quote unquote failures, and also give you guys some tools for how to really get into that space of alignment with your higher self where the insecurities maybe recognize them, but they don't really carry as much weight. So that's what we're hoping to give you guys on this podcast. So one personal story I can start off with tonight is when I was in the doctor's office about, I don't know, a month or two ago. They had suggested to me that I get this treatment done to basically get rid of my freckles. And being really authentic here and kind of talking about something to you guys that used to really make me insecure was my freckles. So growing up, I wanted to actually take an eraser to it. I thought that I could erase physically my freckles, because my freckles made me different, made me stand out. Now, as an adult, I actually love my freckles. So when this, I don't know, she was just like a nurse practitioner or an assistant or something, had suggested, recommended this treatment that zaps out the freckles on my chest, I said, I love my freckles. So that would be like an ixnay on that. There's no way I would get that treatment done, because I embrace this part of who I am and what makes me. Something that Christy and I were talking about before, like the very things that you might feel insecure about are the things that make you you, that make you so unique, so beautiful and lovable. And they're actually the things that other people are drawn to you about, right? So if you kind of start to like flip it, so you can probably think of things off the top of your head, little personality traits about you or physical traits about you that made you feel insecure at one point, and then you kind of grew into loving them about you. So it's just kind of funny that this came full circle with, you know, this lady recommending this treatment to me, and I'm like, no, you know, I'm good. I love my freckles. And so, yeah, I think it's just like embracing the uniqueness of you and the things about you that, you know, may at one time have made you feel insecure. Now you own them and you love them.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the freckles because I was thinking about it, and growing up, I used to always be really insecure of my tan skin. I would tan really, really easily. And my sisters and my brothers, for any of you who know me or any of you who don't know me, when we were growing up, they were all blonde haired, blue eyes. And I was the only one with like dark hair, brown eyes, and tan skin. I just felt like that made me different. And the same thing like you were saying with your freckles. And now I love being tan. Like I get compliments on tan skin. Well, and I love your freckles.
Thank you.
But it's just, it's interesting that you mentioned that it's our insecurities are the things that make us, that we feel make us different. And on one hand, we need to embrace that because, as you said, Lauren, like those are the things that make us, that make you you, right, are your differences. But I think the other side of that is that feeling, there's that feeling that we all have, you know, in from a spiritual perspective, we all came from love and we all came from one source. And then we come into these human bodies, right, and we start to experience life in the human realm, and then we go into these, we detour into separation, right, and these feelings of separation, which is really just an illusion. Yep. And so we start to believe that we are separate from one another, that we are different from one another, and that those differences start to take on a negative connotation. And yes, while in our physical realm, we are, quote unquote, you know, you're sitting there in your body, I'm sitting here in my body, so that we are different. We've also experienced that feeling of oneness. We've all experienced that. So even if this is a little bit like out there for some of you guys listening, how many of you have had that experience with another person, with your best friend, with your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, where you feel your souls connected and you feel yourself literally, maybe you're having a conversation. Lauren and I just had a moment where we always take a moment and set an intention and say a little prayer before we podcast. And in that moment, we feel like one person. And I'm sure each and every one of you has experienced that. Or maybe you're thinking about someone, a friend from across the country, and they call you or they text you. We all know that we're connected, and that is our truth. And it's when we have these experiences where we start to fall back into that feeling of insecurity and focus on all that makes us separate from one another, we're living in that experience of separation. And that feels very isolating. It cuts us off from connection with others, which is natural. It cuts us off from connection with our source. And it just generally makes us feel really crappy. And so one of the things that we're going to talk about on this podcast is recognizing when you're in that space of separation and making yourself separate, feeling your insecurities, maybe talking down to yourself about your insecurities, maybe beating yourself up for X, Y, and Z that happened during the year or didn't happen during the year. What we're doing is we're putting ourselves in that space of separation. And that's why we feel so icky when all that happens.
So another component of what our listener, shout out to Julia, had asked was was the failures. So being kind to yourself around your failures. So
What's interesting is the labels that we put on everything, yeah. right? So everything's like good or bad, failure or success, right? And the expectation. So if I haven't met this specific standard or expectation, then it's a failure, right? But that is really just like a false label. It's not real. Kabbalah talks about like the evolutions around a tree trunk, really, or revolutions. Is it revolution or evolution?
I think it's a different word entirely. The
no, it was there was the evolution in it. I just don't know if the R was in front. You guys know what I mean, all right?
Let's go with evolutions.
All right, evolutions around the tree trunk. I've had half a glass of wine. All right.
That's enough.
Okay. So we're talking about evolutions around a tree trunk, sure. So every experience that you have is one cycle around the tree trunk, and you keep going around and around and around till you get up to, you know, your highest, like, enlightened mm-hmm. self. So every single time that you go through an experience, it just takes you, like, it's like one other cycle, okay? Now that's done. Next cycle up. Or even you can think about it like an elevator yeah. going up. So one job you had didn't work out, so to speak, but that was, you were on floor one. Mm-hmm. Now you're up to floor two. Yeah. So it wasn't a failure. It was actually just taking you a step up yeah. to where you need to be to grow for your soul's evolution, right? Yeah. So it's actually, your perceived failures are actually your journey,
yeah.
right? So if you were to look at every time that a baby is learning to walk, every time that a baby falls when they're learning to walk as a failure, that makes no sense. Like, you don't, you just know that the falling in learning to walk is a part of the journey. It's a part of that process. They can't learn to walk unless they fall.
Yeah.
And I even say that to my yoga students, right? That, you know, say we're doing a balancing pose, like tree pose. And I look around and you know, once in a while we fall out. I fall out, other practitioners fall out of tree. And it's funny to kind of look at it as a teacher, because I can see them objectively, they're falling, and then they kind of like have this reaction, like they're pissed at themselves, they're frustrated, and you can see that they're like, their mind is working in terms of like, should I even try to go back to like, ah, I suck at this, like, see, I suck, I can't do this yoga thing, or I can see it. And so I just remind them that falling is a part of this practice. You're not practicing yoga if you're not falling. Falling is a part of it, but you want to come back because you're still on, this is a part of the journey, right? So I think that the labeling it as a failure is the problem, right?
Well, it's interesting, the thing you bring up about babies, right? Babies have, they're so new and so innocent, and they haven't been exposed to the experiences that we all go through at some point in our life where we start to take on these negative beliefs of ourselves.
Right.
And that's really all that it is. Anytime we have an insecurity on the surface, whether it's you with your freckles, me with my tan, or whether it's something, and I'm not, let's be clear, we're not insecure about that anymore, yeah. but let's say it's something bigger, right? Let's just say it's those feelings of like self-worth. That's the feeling of me walking into Christmas with my family and wondering if everybody's going to judge my career path
right.
or something like that, which I'm sure many of you out there can relate to. It's not necessarily about the insecurity on the surface itself. It's about what that we're taking that insecurity to mean,
right.
what the meaning that we're assigning to it.
Yes.
And that is generally based off of some idea somewhere along that we developed that we are not good enough in
right.
some way.
Right.
And babies don't have that
right.
baggage
right.
yet
exactly.
because they are freshly born into this world, coming from love, believing in love, don't have the mental capacity to even take on that negativity. So what do? they get up and they try to walk, and then they fall, and maybe they'll cry for a minute, but then they get up and they try again, and over and over and over again, and it doesn't stop them. They don't sit there and berate themselves and say, I suck as a baby. I should never try to walk again.
Yeah.
This is horrible, and I'm just not built for walking. Because what if they did, right? What if any of us did that? We would never, ever, ever get anywhere in our lives.
Right.
And the problem that we take on as adolescents and young adults and adults who are well aware is that we start to believe in these concepts and these ideas that we are not good enough. And so when we have these quote unquote perceived failures or setbacks or anything, which as Lauren mentioned is really just a part of the learning process. And if we could all just take these little steps of like, how, what's the whole thing about Edison with the light bulb? Like, didn't Thomas Edison try to like 1,000 different ways or maybe even more? Some science person out there is going to totally like call me out on this, but to invent, no, it wasn't Edison with the light bulb. It was someone else. someone's going to clear this up for me.
Evolution.
You can see where our,
I say tomato.
You can see where our expertise lies. Point being, sometimes it takes 1,000 different ways to try to do something before you actually succeed. And so those 999 different ways were not failures. They were just steps along the way to your success. And if we could all look at our lives and our journeys and our path as that way, then that would change the way that we look at our failures. You know, we would actually start to maybe embrace those things as a learning experience, as a, you know, didn't quite work out this time, but now I know what I want the next time, and I'm going to approach this a little bit differently.
You're better
equipped.
Yeah, you're stronger.
You're stronger.
More courageous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny how, you know, like even with my baby niece, I'll say like, don't, if she falls, it's our job not to react. Because if she, if we react in fear when she falls and we do the whole, or the, you know, like, are you okay? That whole thing, then she'll start to cry. So the key, because she won't cry on her own because she didn't hurt herself.
To learn behavior.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's almost like it's just natural for them to fall, but the adults are the ones putting the fear onto the child. Yeah. It's not, so, you know, it's that, like you said, that learned behavior. But I also want to talk about self-fulfilled prophecy here. And the point that you were just making about the underlying belief system, subconscious, starting from like probably your childhood wound, probably prior to age 10, the original incident, your OI. It's usually coming from that. But then what happens is that the ego mind starts to look for evidence in the three-dimensional world or in the external to support this belief. So the underlying belief is I'm not good enough, right? Then the ego is the scavenger dog looking to find evidence to support this belief.
Yeah.
Evidence in this case would be I got fired from that job. See, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. There's the evidence, you know, or I don't know, whatever situation happens, like I lost at this game. So see, I'm not good enough supports that, you know, that wounded 6-year-old child that wasn't picked to play on that baseball team and then formed that belief system that he was not athletic enough, strong enough, talented enough, too small to play for the team. Then the belief system stuck in him. And then as a 40-year-old adult gets fired from his job, and now that's more proof to support and to keep fueling this underlying belief.
Talk about the broken record.
Okay, broken record.
Yeah,
all right, so broken record. Oftentimes our insecurities are these like replaying broken, what I like to call like a broken record, that are so fucking obsolete. I'm sorry, but like you look at some of the insecurities that come up for you throughout the day, and you're like, this doesn't even make sense to me anymore. This is no longer relevant in my life. So I had actually made a comment to my dad or my mom the other day about something with the holidays. And then I thought to myself, like halfway through saying it, This doesn't even resonate with the person that I am anymore. This is not even like the real me. This isn't my truth anymore. But this is an old record playing in my head. Like, it's just like what I thought I needed to say in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But some old ass insecurity that I don't even have anymore. But it was like just a, you know, just on that constant replay. Mm-hmm. And so I said to Christy before, it's like, you know, you got to put a new record on that record player. And she's like, there are no records anymore. Just there was like, and I was like, what, CDs? CDs? She's like, all at like tech savvy, Spotify, MP3. I don't know. I'm still on compact disc, cassette, tape deck, that shit. But yeah, so you kind of look at like these thoughts that come up and go like, does this even make sense to the me coming into 2017, the new me? No. And if you really evaluate it and step back, it might not, you know, just an old record playing.
Yeah. And I think it's important, you know, we, as people going through this journey, and a lot of us, you know, Laura and I were talking about this. Some of you out there listening are going to be very well aware of your insecurities and your triggers and the things that kind of set you off. And maybe you've done a lot of self-discovery, or you've worked with a coach or whatever, and you have identified those like deeper wounds. And then some of you aren't really quite aware necessarily of why you get triggered. You just kind of recognize yourself being pulled in and out of a space of really just feeling good. And one of the things we talk about a lot on the podcast is using your emotional compass to know when you're in an alignment with your highest self and your truth and your true nature, and when you're out of alignment with that. And that's really what it boils down to, is you're either in or you're either in or you're out. And it's okay. We all get pulled out. We all get pulled out on a daily basis. We all get pulled out on a moment to moment basis. And it really, it's just about being able to recognize and to recalibrate. And so we mentioned, you know, you're especially coming with the holidays coming up, and, you know, people may listen to this podcast long after the season, and that's, it's always going to be relevant because everybody always has family get togethers and times that we're around other people. And that can definitely be a place anytime where, you know, we can be wonderfully aligned when we're sitting at home in meditation, but it's really the work gets tested when we go out into the real world and we start interacting with other people, right? So those, you know, sometimes our interactions with other people start to trigger us. And when we notice ourselves coming into that space of negativity, I think it's really just about stepping back first and sort of being the gentle observer of, okay, you know, I'm in this space of feeling negative and out of alignment, and recognizing it first and foremost, and then recognizing that you've chosen to align with a false belief system and that it's okay, and forgiving yourself and coming back. And so compassion
for the self and for the people that are triggering you.
Yeah. So we'll talk a lot about that too. You know, one point of awareness is recognizing that other people who are sometimes saying things and doing things that are maybe not the kindest, or that are saying things that are triggering you, sometimes they're just speaking and acting from their wounds. In fact, not sometimes, like across the board, they're speaking and acting from their wounds. If somebody is really saying something that is unkind, that is
ignorant,
that is what else?
Insulting.
If that's truly the case, then recognize that where they're coming from is also a wounded space, because we all have this, right? We all have wounds, and we all have insecurities, and we all have triggers. And some people lead with that insecurity, right? I'm sure we all know people who, you know, who put up that wall and put up that front, and maybe their only way of that they know how to relate is by saying something in a, you know, joking manner, or by saying something in an insulting manner. And not that to say by any means that any of us has to put up with that, because we don't, but it's really about recognizing where that person is coming from, that they're also coming from a wounded place, and having the compassion for them and for yourself to recognize it for what it truly is, and to be able to respond in a way that really stems from that place of compassion. And sometimes the response is going to be to brush it off, because maybe that's the appropriate response. And sometimes the response is going to be to take yourself out of that situation, because you don't need to deal with that. Yeah. And that's okay too. But it's about recognizing that it's not a personal attack. It's people coming together. And there's a lot of this going on around the holidays that we were talking about this earlier, that really we're all just kind of like walking wounds coming to and interacting with each other. And there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot. And because there's a lot of that, those of us who are sensitive to it also are picking up on other people's stuff that's
absorbing
going
all the energy
and absorbing all of that energy around us. And so we have to be very aware of that when we are, particularly when we're going into these group type settings where we have high probability of our inner wounds and insecurities being triggered.
Yeah. It's funny because Marianne Williamson talked about keeping the holidays holy. Right? And if you actually think about the meaning behind Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's even, it's like on a spiritual level, let's break down like Hanukkah, the festival of light.
Yeah.
Light, being a vessel of light, understanding, compassion, love, peace. Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, like, which is the symbol of love, right? Seeing your brother as innocent. New Year's, the time of renewal, rebirth, shedding the old,
embracing the new.
Like anything opposite that is just like going against the whole meaning of the whole thing, right? So anything that is like a thought of lovelessness has no place in keeping the holidays holy, including these false insecurities and labels that you've been putting on yourself, right? Because that's just like lovelessness, thoughts of lovelessness. But let's look at the opposite of that. One thing I wanted to touch base on was that loving thoughts are actually like angels, right? So we talk about like the presence of angels, and sometimes we see that as like a symbolic presence of, you know, a loving force around you, helping to support you and guide you. Sometimes it's a deceased family member that you see as your guardian angel, or an archangel that you might pray to, like Michael or Raphael or Gabriel. But angels also can be looked at as loving thoughts. And I've always kind of thought that when someone gives you a compliment throughout the day, that these people are like earth angels, because sometimes it comes out of like nowhere and you're like, who are you and who sent you? Because how did you know that I needed to hear that today? Or it just almost seems like it's just, it has to be an angel, right? Or an earth angel, because it's, sometimes it comes from a stranger or just like an acquaintance that there's no biases there. Or like one of my colleagues this morning, shout out to Elise if you're listening to this, gave me like the sweetest compliments this morning after my yoga class. And it was like so kind what she said that I almost couldn't process it. Like it was almost like it was really extreme of a compliment. I was telling Christy about it like hours later when we were talking, when we were prepping for this podcast. I couldn't even believe it. And I was like, she must have been like an earth angel sent to me this morning, you know? And so I think that we ought to really embrace when people say these things to us, right? Just embracing the compliments, embracing these loving, caring words that people say to you throughout the day, it does mean something. There's no reason that they would have to tell you these things if it wasn't true or if they weren't sent from above, you know?
Well, it just goes into the whole idea of owning the amazing qualities and things that each of us does bring to the table. We're so quick to put so much weight on those things that are insecure, that we're insecure about, things that we feel are our like quote unquote negative traits, that we don't really take the time to own all of the amazing things that we bring to the table. Like Lauren said, especially when it comes from a stranger, but we got to be able to like own and trust when our friends and our family are telling us these things too, because they know us well. And, you know, stranger, like you said, has like no reason to like blow smoke up your ass. So you can kind of like look at that as like a, okay, like you
they're
know,
not getting anything from
they're not so getting, there's no motive. It's purely unsolicited. So that's really cool when that happens. But we really need to take the time to own the compliments, the amazing qualities and things that other people see in us. Yeah. We need to take more time to really, we put so much more weight on the negative things. Anything that somebody says that can be misconstrued as a negative comment or anything, we put so much more weight on that than we do the positive stuff. And we need to do the opposite. We really need to take in the positive and kind of let go of the negative, right? Honestly.
And start to look at yourself the way that the people around you that love you the most look at you. You know, think about how much, you know, I don't know, let's just say if you have a good relationship with your parents, then most likely they see you through unconditional eyes. They see you as innocent and beautiful and so smart. And if you start to look at yourself in that way, the way that you would look at your child, then all kind of like insecurities disappear, because they see you even through your perceived failures and your, you know, little quirks and idiosyncrasies. They still love you so much
that they love you because of that.
Right. Because of those things. Right. So, I think looking at yourself through that same lens, that could be a little trick of the trade to use.
So some other tools that we can give you guys, just awareness, you know, that if you know that you're going into a space that you're going to be triggered, like set yourself up for success. Sit in meditation or whatever it is that makes...
Bless it before you go in.
Bless it.
Bless people
yeah.
before you go in.
Yeah. Do whatever makes you feel most you at your best. Like what makes you feel good? What makes you feel connected? For me, it's meditation. For Lauren, maybe you, it's yoga. Or whatever, being in nature. Like, take the time out to do the things that make you feel most you. Meditation, I think, can be really, really great for anybody, because like Lauren said, you sit and you actually bless the people who you're going to come into contact with. You see yourself going through these interactions and acting as your highest self and your most confident, most aware space.
And you're no longer insecure because you're empowered. Because you are the vessel of light. You are the messenger of love, the vessel of light and peace. So therefore, you can't be brought down. You can't be in your insecurity, because you hold the power to, you know, make the space beautiful.
Yeah. So that's definitely one thing we talked about, was setting your intention.
You're not having the effect anymore. You
and
are
you're
the effect.
Setting your intention and your purpose for whatever event that you're walking into. Maybe it's Christmas dinner with your family. Well, what is your intention? Your intention is to
be love.
Be the love, be the light, be the peace. And so every interaction that you have with every person there, you come back to that intention. And if you find yourself falling out of that space or being triggered or whatever, then you kind of have that intention to fall back to. And like Lauren said,
then that gives you confidence that if you walk into your Christmas dinner or your Hanukkah or whatever saying, like, I am here to bring the love and the light, like, what more do you need?
Exactly.
Like, you don't need anything more than that. Exactly. You're good. Like, you're covered.
Yeah.
You've got guidance. You are totally good.
The big G.
Yeah, right?
Wrapping the big G.
Yeah, wrapping the big G, baby. Also, one other tip that I must talk about is comparing yourself to other people. I mean, we got to cut the shit. It's like, it's so toxic. It's ridiculous. Like, we're comparing ourselves to other people. And it's total BS anyway, because you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. How many times have you compared yourself to someone and then, boom, you know, you found out the real truth behind their story or whatever, and you're like, why was I comparing myself to that person? Or, you know, it's just, it's unrealistic. And I know it's even heightened this time of year because you're seeing pictures of other people's lives on the surface level, you know, them in their beautiful outfits and their beautiful everything. And it's just not real. You really don't know what happened a second before they took that picture or what's going on behind closed doors. And you're comparing yourself to something that's not even real. So I know that we've all done it before. I've done it where, you know, I've actually had a conversation with one of my sorority sisters where it was actually funny. And you know who it is. I said to her that, you know, I look at you and I'm like, you have my dream life.
Yeah.
And she said to me, no way, because I look at you that way.
Yeah.
And we're like, whoa, that was a real like light bulb moment, because both of us had no place to be comparing ourselves to each other. You know, we can just inspire each other, right? Rather than comparing in a negative way. It's more of like an inspiration way. So yeah, I think catching yourself when you do it and just stopping yourself and staying away from those things. Just be inspired by people around you and, you know, wish them well rather than comparing yourself, because you don't know who's comparing themselves to you.
Yeah.
No, the comparison thing is great, because I think that comparison does what? It takes us into separation, right?
Right.
So
right.
We're either in separation or we're in a state of oneness. And so when we are in that space of oneness and aligned and in alignment with our higher truth and our higher power, then we are no longer in that space of separation. So kind of goes back to the intention and what do you want to set, you know, and setting yourself up for success. So spend that time in meditation, go for a walk, like get some time to yourself. If you find yourself being triggered, step out for a little bit. You know, it's okay to go and take a walk and take a little break away from family for a little bit or work or for whatever else. If you need to and you can only like spare a minute or two, like go into the bathroom and just breathe and breathe, you know, deeply and focus on your breath and reconnect to whatever purpose you have,
right,
being there, whether that's being the light, whether that's being at peace, whatever that purpose is, just take the time to reconnect, because it is so easy to be pulled out. And when we get pulled out, then sometimes we just get stuck in it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about recognizing that we all, like Lauren said, have insecurities. We all have fears, but yet at the core, we all want the same things. We all want connection. We all want oneness. We all want freedom from our insecurities, and we all want to feel that love and connection. And so when we recognize that and set that as our intention, then that sets us up for a greater, more holy type of experience.
Right.
I think we should look at the voices inside of us as separate from us. Say you took out this voice inside of you, this nasty voice inside of you that is constantly beating yourself up, and took it outside of you and put it into human form. Would you be friends with that person?
Right.
Would you date that person? Hell no. They're a bully. Right?
Yeah.
See, I mean, challenge yourself to go like a day without comparing yourself, without putting yourself down, right? Without feeling like a loser, all this stuff that comes up without judging yourself in the mirror about your weight, your appearance, your life, all this. Just, I dare you a day. Mm-hmm. See if you can do it. I mean, I hope you can. I pray you can. That's the goal here. That's something I'm working on. I know Christy's working on it. And, but yeah, if you kind of like look at it that way, I love that, that metaphor of like, take that voice out of you. Like, would you be even friends with that person? Become your own best friend or your own significant other, treating yourself the way that you expect your friends and family and your spouses to treat you. Talk to yourself in that same way, right?
When you were talking about that, Martha Beck talks about taking that voice, that negative voice, that insecure voice, and she describes it as like, it's like your lizard. There's a term she uses, but I think it's like the lizard voice. And she actually encourages her clients. Martha Beck's an author. She's a therapist as well. Or she might be a clinical psychologist. And she encourages her clients to actually give a like name and a face to their, like, what she refers to as their lizard voice. And you just literally picture this like ugly lizard just sitting on your shoulders saying all of these things. And it does two things. It takes it outside of your mind, you know, so that you recognize that it's separate from who you truly are, that it's not real, that it's separate. And then you get to laugh at that, right? And
it's character.
It's character. And you laugh, right? Laugh at the ridiculousness of what this thing is saying to you, and right. You recognize that it's completely false and completely ridiculous. And so I really actually love that concept. It's what I thought of when you were saying that, so I had to mention
that.
It
I mean, babies and animals don't do this to themselves. Imagine that would be such a good cartoon if we could like animate an animal to be like insecure. Actually, you know what, it's kind of like Wile E. Coyote, isn't it? I feel like Wiley kind of acts like funny like that sometimes, or I don't know. There's some like Looney Tunes that kind of like allude to it a little bit, but yeah, I think that would be funny. So, you know, you kind of make it like it's a character, it's separate from you, and then it gives it, takes away its power, really.
Totally.
Right? Can you imagine like a baby walking around, like judging itself, being insecure about everything? Like, did this bottle that I just drank make me fat? You know? I need to cut down on my calories with your breast milk today, Mom, because I'm getting a little belly here. So, I don't know. I think we just have to laugh at ourselves. That's a great tool, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a great tool.
Like sometimes like I'll say something and Christy's like, what'd you say to me before? You're crazy town.
Yeah.
Or something, I don't know, something like that. You're serious? You said something like
bitch you cray.
Bitch you cray. Oh yeah, that's what she said. I said some insult about myself and she's like, bitch you cray. So like, I should just record you and just play it anytime I have an insecurity.
Tip.
So call out your insecurities to your friends, right?
Yes.
Because seriously, sometimes you just need that place, that like safe space event, that person who's not going to like indulge it, but who's going to actually just mirror back to you what is truth. And that's, you know, that's what Lauren and I have. That's what I have with other friends. I hope you guys have that person. If you don't have that person, like, we're here. We will be that person for you, because sometimes you just need that person who's going to let you vent your stuff and just really mirror back to you what is true and what is just like false and ridiculous, because we all live in our heads like 95% of the time, right? Like, you know, we filter everything going on in our external world through that internal lens. And sometimes that lens is, oh my God, things are amazing and I love myself and I love my life. And sometimes that lens, more often than not, is, I don't feel great, I'm not good enough. And when we are in that space, it's really helpful to be able to verbalize and out ourselves to one another so that we can help each other
correct, you know?
So I think a part of this is nurturing that inner wounded child inside of you. So like if an insecurity comes up, realize that, oh, this is just like the 6-year-old child in me that wasn't picked for the baseball team. I'm going to, you know, nurture him or her, you know, until the wound is healed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know when we went to Mastin Kip this summer, you know, we did this awesome meditation about forgiving the people that have hurt us the most in our lives and seeing them, actually picturing them as a wounded little child, you know, and then forgiving that child. Because if you see a little child that crouching down on the floor, crying, wounded, scared, then you can't harbor any anger toward them anymore because you're seeing them as the truth of what they are, which is just wounded. So we all have these wounds, and so it's time that we nurture and forgive that wounded child inside of us until it heals, and then it goes away, and then we stop playing that broken record.
We want to thank you guys for joining us today, and we love you. We love having you guys as part of this community, and we're so grateful that you tune in every month to listen and to be in this space with us. And you can, as you know, you can contact us. Like, we've done a lot of listener requests lately. Like, if there's stuff, keep them coming. Like, we want to know what you guys want to hear. So please feel free to give us a shout out on Instagram. I am _Christy Snyder. Christy Snyder LLC is my website, and I'm Christy Snyder on Facebook.
And I'm Lux Yoga Life, LuxeYogalife on Instagram, or Lauren Adelson, Lux Yoga Life on Facebook. Keep in mind that we work together. We offer our services worldwide. If you guys want to work with us, contact us anytime. We're here to help you. And we just wish you the most beautiful new year. We hope for you that you have the strength and the courage to embrace who you are, to love yourself, and to allow in the love that you deserve. Happy New Year, and we will talk to you in the new year.